Well, if you do have your Bible, and we encourage you to bring your Bible, please do turn to John chapter 15. Today, on this Remembrance Sunday, we do pause to remember. World wars and the bloodiness and the cruelty of war. To remember the awfulness of so much that happened during these wars, and to remember those who died. To remember those who were killed and murdered during our own troubles. But also to remember the living. To remember those who are serving in war zones around this world. To remember those who are seeking to keep the peace. To remember those who are still hurting as victims and survivors, hurting physically and mentally and emotionally. And to pray, as we have been doing, in prayer and in song, for peace, for reconciliation, for healing, not only in an outward way, but ultimately on the inside and the heart. And today, as we remember these things, I want to, just for the time that we have, to draw your attention to this famous and well-known text in John chapter 15 and verse 13, these words, greater love has no one than this, or no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. There are basically three things that I want to draw to your attention from these verses this morning. The context of this text is, of course, the wider theme in John chapter 15, that we are to love one another. Jesus is teaching his disciples, first of all, that they are to abide in him, then they're to love one another, and then they're to go out into the world. And as someone has suggested, and very helpfully, there's a whole series there, abiding in Christ, that looking in and that relationship with him, that love one for the other, that looking out to brothers and sisters and loving one another, and then that going out into the world, that wider dimension. But three simple things today. First of all, the sacrificial love of man. And I use this as an example of this, something that I'm sure some of you have heard before. On the first day of the Battle of the Somme, the first day of July 1916, over 19,000 British soldiers perished on that first day, 19,000. And amongst the dead was a young man from Lurgan, County Armagh. His name was William, Private William McFadzean. He was the youngest of nine soldiers whose actions on that day earned him a Victoria Cross, the most prestigious award available in the armed forces. The 20-year-old from Lurgan had been deployed to Thiepval in France as part of the 14th Royal Irish Rifles. And he was in the thick of the fighting on that first day of July 1916. The London Gazette carries a record of what actually happened. Some of you may know this story. A box of bombs had slipped down into a trench which was full of men, and two of the safety pins fell out. And I quote, Private McFadzean, instantly realizing the danger to his comrades, with heroic courage threw himself on top of the bombs. The bombs exploded, blowing him to pieces. But only one other man was injured. He well knew his danger, being himself a bomber. But without a moment's hesitation, he gave his life for his comrades, unquote. It's a moving and maybe much recited illustration of the sacrificial love of man. And that is the kind of thing we remember today with dignity and with respect. But I want you to focus on what this passage is saying, because this passage ultimately speaks about the sacrificial love of Christ. Because the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ is greater and superior to any human sacrificial love. Let me give you three simple ways in which that is the case. First of all, remember this: Jesus did not have to die. Jesus Christ did not have to die. Now, this is not true of any of us here this afternoon. We are mortal and we must die. Even a brave soldier like William McFadzean knew that he was mortal and that he would die at some point. But Jesus was immortal. He did not have to die. If you or I gave our lives for someone else, that would undoubtedly be a very brave and sacrificial thing to do. But it would also, in another sense, be an anticipation of what was definitely going to happen. We will die. But Jesus did not have to die. And yet he chose to die. Do you see that? He chose to go a road that he did not have to go, if we can use that language. He chose to die out of love and mercy and grace towards sinners like you and me. Amazing love. Jesus did not have to die, but consider this also, secondly. Jesus died for his enemies. And here is another reason, folks, how and why the sacrificial love of Christ is actually greater and more superior than any human sacrificial love, significant that that is. Let me quote to you Romans chapter 5. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see what that is saying? It was when we were sinners, we were alienated from God. We were rebels to God. And yet God loved us and Christ came and died for those who were flying in his face. One writer says about this: here especially do we see the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So long as we think of ourselves as being good in God's sight, we do not see it. But when we see ourselves as God sees us, then the surpassing worth of the love of Christ becomes truly evident. Folks, can you see, can we see ourselves as God sees us? That we're not actually at heart good and slightly tainted. We are sinners. We are rebels against God. And yet it was for such that Christ came and bled on that cross and shed his blood. And that's just another reason why the death of Jesus, the sacrificial love of Jesus, is greater than anything that you will see in this world. Jesus did not have to die. And Jesus dies for his enemies. Which of us would do that? I don't think too many. But here's another reason why the love of Jesus is superior and greater. And we go into depths here. Jesus died a spiritual death. Remember reading a little story of a child who was with others, of course, and they were standing at the side of a mighty ravine, very, very deep. And maybe as most children, young and old, would want to do, they wanted to throw a stone into the ravine and listen for when it would hit the bottom. And so I trust with care, they threw the stone and they listened. And they listened, but they actually couldn't hear it hit the bottom. Such was the depth. And folks, in what I'm about to say now, there is a great depth. There are depths to this dimension of the love and the death of Jesus that we cannot fully understand. You know, John 15 and 13 will be recited much today. But for all who recite these verses and these words, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I wonder, will everyone realize the depths of which it speaks? Because it speaks to us ultimately of the sacrificial love of Christ, who, yes, died for his enemies, but here he says, I'm dying for my friends. Jesus died an awful physical death, and we'll not go into that now. The horror and the pain of crucifixion has been well recited. But folks, never forget that there was another dimension to the death of Christ. And if we can take ourselves for a moment just back to what the gospel record reminds us, that as Jesus was on that cross, on that hill at Golgotha, and as time dragged and the a situation almost of real suspense came for those who were standing at the foot of the cross, we're told that suddenly at the ninth hour, and there was darkness and probably a real eerie silence had fallen upon the whole situation. And into that silence, do you remember there was a cry uttered? Do you remember the cry, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? One writer describes it movingly as the most appalling sound that ever pierced the atmosphere of this earth, that the eternal Son of God is nailed to a cross by sinners. And in those very moments, in the midst of the physical dereliction, there is a spiritual desolation, as for the first time in eternity, the Son feels that separation from the Father. You know, Jesus knew what it was to be forsaken by nation, family, friends, even disciples. But now, think about this, folks. Now, for the very first time in eternity, Christ was utterly forsaken by God on that cross. He was in a place of dereliction. What had been foreseen in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed with sweat and tears, and as he agonized about taking the cup, what was the cup? It was the cup of the very wrath of God against sin. And Jesus had drank of that cup. And in those moments he felt, and oh the mystery, oh the depth of this, how can any man speak of these things adequately? He felt something of what it was to be without God, to be without any comforts from God. He was godless, deprived of God. He was cursed. He was condemned under the very judgment of God. He was in hell itself. Folks, there are dimensions to that I cannot even begin to understand, nor can you. But what I'm saying is this. We can never ever begin to compare the sacrificial love of mere men and women with the sacrificial love of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. And he did all of this, as we say in that lovely Easter hymn, he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood. Do you see that? Do you not only see it in your head, but do you see it in your heart? Do you feel it this morning? Have you embraced Christ? Have you repented and believed the gospel? Have you come to see the wonder of this? The sacrificial love of Christ. That's the gospel today, isn't it? That's the heart of the message. Christ crucified for sinners. But so long as anyone, whether they're here or elsewhere, still continue to think of themselves as reasonably good, you'll not see it. But when you do realize that you are a sinner, deserving of the punishment of God, and then when you see Christ standing in your place, that's life-changing. And that prepares you for eternity as you believe it with all your heart. The sacrificial love of men and the sacrificial love of Christ. And thirdly, just a word on the sacrificial love of Christians. Because notice here what Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus speaks here of how he does something for his friends, and then he challenges those around him and those who hear, are you a friend of the Savior? Well, those who are friends of the Savior will live in obedience. Again, there's lots of texts here that can back up this word previously. Look at verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Glance back to chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Chapter 14 and verse 23. Do you see that there? If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Folks, can you see the tying together here of love for the Lord and obedience? Somebody once said, very simply and yet how truly, the evidence of knowing God is obeying God. And there are many who maybe profess to know God, but do they obey God? Are they following God? Are they serving God? Well, if not, then that's a false testimony and a false profession. But in summary here today, we look and we think of the sacrificial love and we remember the sacrificial love of men. And we pause in respect to remember and not to forget. But ultimately, we remember the sacrificial love of our Lord Jesus Christ and how his love was superior. He did not have to die, and he dies even for his enemies, and he dies a spiritual death that we do not really fully understand, and he does it for you and for me as we embrace him. And the last challenge here is that we are confronted with this challenge that what is our love like for the Lord? Is it sacrificial or is it half-hearted? I have mentioned in the little bulletin and the Be Inspired, and you can look at it some other time, some of the ways in which we show our love and our desire to follow him. That we not only love the Lord in sincerity and truth, we not only love one another, but that we determine to meet on the Lord's Day to worship him in sincerity and in truth. Our lives are marked by the reading of the Word of God and taking time to pray and to be quiet and still in the midst of the busyness of life. To live a life marked by kindness and good works. To live a life marked by being watchful and resisting the devil. To live a life marked by seeking the daily infilling of the Holy Spirit. So, folks, time has gone, but essentially what I'm saying is, how's your love for the Lord today? It has to be more than just words. It has to be seen in action and in obedience. Today we live in an age where obedience is almost becoming a slightly dirty and old-fashioned word. But despite what the world says, obedience is an important word. And if you are a professing Christian man or woman or young person here today, you are called to obedience. And by your obedience, not in a legalistic way, but in a joyful way, by your obedience, you show to an unbelieving world your love for the Lord and your testimony that it's real. That it's not fake. It's real. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you today for the amazing sacrificial love of our Savior. May it melt our hearts afresh, or in a new way, or maybe for the very first. And as we come in repentance and faith to Jesus, may we live in obedience to our Savior, that the world might know that we are his disciples. Lord, hear our prayer. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.